Hi, everyone. I wanted to start out today with a quick shout out to Matron Saint, a super chic maternity line that wants to revolutionize the way you dress as you embark on motherhood. Their clothes are simple, stylish, and comfortable. Use the code PYC20 when you check out for 20% off your order. Now I want to ask you, my listeners, for a shout out. Rate and review Yoga Birth Babies on iTunes or Stitcher, and follow PYC and Matron Saint on Instagram for your chance to win a $100 gift card from Matron Saint. Email a screenshot of your review and your handle to info@prenatalyogacenter.com. Thanks for listening. Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening. For my yoga teacher friends who are interested in working with the pregnant population, Prenatal Yoga Center offers an 85-hour Yoga Alliance certified program based on our three-pronged theory of prenatal yoga: asana, education, and community. Once a year, we hold our three-month immersion program in New York City. For those who cannot attend this training, Caprice and I are now traveling to different locations holding our training at hosting studios where we will spend 6 days working together, exploring and learning about prenatal yoga. This training consists of more than 50 hours working together. We also created a whole membership website with more than 20 videos corresponding directly to the manual you will receive. For more information, check out our website at prenatalyogacenter.com. Hope to work with you soon. Take care. Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg, and I'm your host of Yoga Birth Babies. And today we're going to continue our series about body image issues, pregnancy, postpartum, something so many women face. So we've already done a podcast on plus-size pregnancy, and I have a few moms coming on board talking about their struggles and triumphs during pregnancy and postpartum with eating disorders. And today we have Claire Misko. And amongst many things that she does, she's the author of several books. And I just have to share the title because when I first read it, I literally laughed out loud, and it is, "Does This Pregnancy Make Me Look Fat?" Because I just think that's hilarious. So I hope everyone else thinks it's funny too. But let me tell you a little bit about Claire before we dive into our conversation.
Claire Misko is a chief executive officer of the National Eating Disorder Association and an internationally recognized expert on eating disorders, body image, and media literacy. She is the author of Does This Pregnancy Make Me Look Fat?, The Essential Guide to Loving Your Body Before and After Baby, and You're Amazing, A No-Pressure Guide to Being Your Best Self, an award-winning self-esteem manual for girls.
Hi, Claire. Thank you so much for spending some time with me this afternoon.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So let's just jump into kind of the meat of everything and start with what brought you to this path of working with people with eating disorders and body image issues?
Yeah, well, I first came into this work and working in the eating disorders field specifically through my own experience. I struggled in my teens with an eating disorder and was fortunate in that I got help and was able to get into recovery and have been healthy for many years. But it was a struggle that really stayed with me in terms of being close to my heart and recognizing how many other women and men, frankly, are struggling with these issues. And so it's something that I started writing about and getting involved in advocacy. And then, you know, with the book, Does This Pregnancy Make Me Look Fat? It was really about thinking about how many women are affected by body image issues and eating disorders and, you know, what impact that has during pregnancy and new motherhood and realizing there just weren't that many resources out there. So my co-author and I decided that we needed to write something, and that's how we got the idea for the book.
How have people received it? What kind of feedback have you gotten from women?
We've gotten tremendous feedback, really, really positive. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's such a prevalent issue, but women feel a lot of shame. And, I mean, that's generally true with eating disorders, but I think that, you know, with motherhood and pregnancy, there's this expectation that it's supposed to be this like glorious, happy time. And, you know, to struggle with something like this, there are a lot of women who are dealing with it, but don't feel like they can talk about it. So to have a book, and our book was really based on many, many interviews. You know, we surveyed and interviewed, close to 400 women for this book. So there are a lot of different perspectives represented. And so I think, the thing that we've heard across the board is that it's comforting. And, you know, there's a sense of, oh, I'm not alone in this, which is so important. And that's really, that was a driver for us in wanting to write it.
Yeah, it was interesting. I talked to some women just randomly in one of my classes. It was a class about 24 women, pregnant women. And knowing this interview was coming up, I said, you know, does anyone feel, you know, like they're struggling with body image issues? And it's something that I personally struggled with since I can remember, and especially mm-hmm. during pregnancy. And I don't know if people were being shy or, again, the shame or the not wanting to discuss. But only two or three women kind of nodded and raised their hands. And yeah. Like, come on, guys, let's, you know, let's open up. But you absolutely mm-hmm. hit it there that it's something that I think so many people, if not everyone, has some issue with their body. And then during pregnancy, it feels so out of control. So how would someone even identify if they're having body image issues during pregnancy?
Well, I think the first thing is just, you know, as a basic litmus test, if, you know, your thoughts about food, weight, body image, exercise are, you know, interrupting your life in a way where it's making it difficult for you to feel good about yourself, to engage in relationships, to feel connected. If it's starting to become an obsessive focus, those are all signs that would indicate that it's becoming a problem and it's important to reach out for help. And, you know, with these kinds of issues, again, factoring in the shame and the secrecy that's at play here, it's really important to have your support system around you. So if you know that these issues have been there in the past, certainly going into pregnancy, you know, making sure that you're talking to the people you trust about it and keeping an eye on it. So if the anxiety and the stress around body image starts to surface, that you have people you can talk to and people you trust. But, you know, really pay attention. And I think, you know, the earlier you reach out for help, the better, you know, and that if it's starting to bug you, talk to someone about it and, you know, don't let it get worse, which a lot of times, you know, women stay quiet and they suffer in silence. And it's important to reach out for help.
Can you talk a little bit more about the shame? Where does that come from? What are they feeling?
Well, I think a lot of times, certainly pregnancy and you know, for new moms, there's a lot of isolation and feeling like there's no one else who can relate to what you're going through, which of course is not true because of, you know, when you look at the numbers of women who are affected by poor body image and disordered eating and even full-blown eating disorders, again, you're not alone if you're feeling this way. There are many, many other women who do, but there's something that can be very isolating about the experience. And then I think getting back to my earlier point, there is this cultural pressure and, you know, image around pregnancy and how we're, you know, quote unquote, supposed to feel like, and that it's supposed to be this, you know, perfect celebratory time. And for women who don't feel that way, who are struggling with anxiety and body image issues, that's a lot of times, a lot of the women that we talk to express that, you know, they were feeling like, well, I'm supposed to be focused on, you know, my baby and the pregnancy. And, you know, they expressed almost feeling selfish for, you know, having these issues. And it's really, again, it's really critical to get past that and to reach out for help. A lot of the women we talk to, and, you know, this was really, really eye-opening for me in talking to women about who actually disclosed to us that they had struggled with disordered eating and poor body image in the past. Three quarters of them never talked to their healthcare provider about it, their OB or their midwife. So they would talk to us about, yes, I had an eating disorder, you know, when I was younger, or I've dabbled in this behavior, or body image issues have continued to be a huge issue in my life. And then when we would ask the follow-up question of, well, did you talk to your doctor about that? And the answer three quarters of the time was no. So, you know, there's a big, big gap in, you know, an understanding from the, you know, when we're talking about what women are disclosing to their healthcare providers. And unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of training of healthcare providers in eating disorders. So sometimes women will report that, you know, their OB was the worst offender in making comments about weight or triggering anxiety about weight gain. So, you know,
I did want to touch upon that since we're here. Let's kind of jump ahead to that. Mm-hmm. That is something that comes up a lot, and I hear it from my students all the time. My doctor told me I'm gaining too much weight. I'm only supposed to gain 25 to 35 pounds. And I know that if someone started off really, really thin, they maybe should gain more. But going to the doctor has become a point of anxiety for a lot of women. Mm-hmm. So, and then stepping on the scale.
Yep.
So do you have any suggestions for how women can work with that with their doctor?
Yeah. And I think, again, that's a reason why being open about your struggles or your anxieties early on is really important, because A, you want to be able to connect with a healthcare provider who is sensitive to these issues. And so if you say early on, whatever your history is, I mean, for me, when I was pregnant, I went into my OB and I said, you know, I have a history of an eating disorder. I've been healthy for many years. This hasn't been an issue for me, but I'm really, really aware that there are a lot of triggers that come up in pregnancy. So, you know, I don't want weight to be a focus of the discussion. I'd prefer not to talk about it unless you really think that it's a serious issue that I need to pay attention to. When I was weighed, I didn't look at the number. I advocated for myself throughout my pregnancy. I told people around me, you know, my family members and my partner. Like I had a doula. I said, look, I have a history of this. I need help to make sure that weight and weight gain does not become a central focus. And it is, you know, it's really, you do have to advocate for yourself, because unfortunately that is, as you pointed out, the scale is really the center, has become that way of, you know, a lot of these appointments. But when you really say and make a conscious decision that you do not want that to be the focus, unless of course it really is a serious issue that needs to be addressed from, you know, and there's a medical reason for that. But otherwise, you know, taking weight and weight gain out of the equation during pregnancy is very liberating, you know, and you really start to see how much it dominates women's conversations. You know, there's always this comparison of like, oh, how much weight did you gain? And, you know, there's a whole focus on it that if you just, it was interesting to me because I wasn't tracking that number during my pregnancy. So when I was asked the question, it was always like, well, I don't really know. You know, I'm not tracking it. I don't know how much weight I've gained. And then after I gave birth, it was, I don't know. I don't weigh myself. I don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm back to my pre-baby weight, or it's just not a focus for me. And, you know, people's eyes kind of go like, you don't know your, like, you don't know your weight, but I don't need to, unless it's a problem. And so I think if it's been a focus and an obsessive focus for you, to really think about that and how that's going to affect you during pregnancy, because you can really, it's amazing how many other things your mind can focus on if you're not obsessing over weight and weight gain and tracking, you know, whether you've gained just the right amount or, you know, stressing over having gained too much. So, you know, unless it's really a medical issue, there's no reason to focus on it so much.
But yeah, that's wonderful. I like that. It sounds like it was really liberating. Mm-hmm. I was not able to take that path personally, but I like the idea of putting it out there for people to think, all right, I don't need to put my mind here. Let the care provider, if there's a problem, he or she will let me know. But there does seem to be this shaming of you've gained too much weight. For the women come in, they're mm-hmm. freaking out that their doctor said, you gained 10 pounds in the last month. That's too much. When I feel like there's a natural kind of high and low imbalance mm-hmm. that the body deals with. So I know that many people that are obsessive about food intake and weight gain, but still fall in normal weight and mm-hmm. they're not vomiting or binge eating. So those around them may not even see that there's a disorder. So what would other criteria be so that women might recognize that, I'm normal weight, but I still have a problem, or that their partners might actually see that too.
Right. And I think that's where you really do have to focus on the behavior and the indicators that are not weight focused. So, And this is true generally of eating disorders. I mean, one of the biggest myths about eating disorders is that you can tell by looking at someone that they have a problem. And usually that's not the case. Many, many people who struggle with these issues are average weight and you would not know. So you have to really pay attention to how you're feeling and the level of anxiety you have about body image and eating and exercise, if exercise is your focus. You know, and so again, that test of, is this interrupting my life in a way that is making it difficult for me to feel good and, you know, establish connections, or am I isolating myself? And then for partners and friends and family members to really be tuned into that as well. If the person that you care about is starting to talk about anxiety, about weight gain a lot, and, you know, it's becoming central to every conversation or many, many conversations. And, you know, if you're noticing that the person is isolating themselves, I mean, these are the kinds of behaviors to look out for. And then if there's, you know, if there's eating indication of eating disorder behavior restriction or binge eating, a lot of times, and we heard this a lot from women, because we live in such a weight obsessed culture, and many, many women are used to a certain level of restriction. You know, they've been chronic dieters their whole lives. And then pregnancy, you have this cultural message of like the free pass, right? To, you know, indulge, quote unquote, indulge during pregnancy. So we do see a lot of women kind of like, which is a natural thing for your body. If you've been used to restriction, when you start to eat without that restriction, that can often result in binging. So, you know, to really pay attention to your own behavior. And again, it's not always visible. It's not always linked to weight.
So how can someone might have a history of an eating disorder or body image issue prepare themselves for this physical shift? Because there's that, I remember really clearly that shift between not being pregnant and popping. And I remember someone saying to me, like, I just gotten married when I got pregnant right after. And she's like, wow, Deb, you really let yourself go after you got married. And I hadn't, you know, popped yet. You know, you don't have that little, you know, little beach ball. So that's going to happen for many people. But if someone really has issues with watching their body change, how can they best prepare themselves for kind of that mushy period and then watching their breast change and probably weight in their face and their body?
Yeah. Well, and that period of time, I have to say, is I can't tell you how many women I spoke to who cited that exact period of time. Like, I cannot wait until it's really obvious that I'm pregnant, because, you know, I'm gaining all this weight now, but it's not like it's not that I'm so visibly pregnant, and that the anxiety around that is really, really intense. I think in terms of preparation, again, it's really important if you know that that either if you've struggled with an eating disorder or disordered eating, or you know that body image is a source of anxiety for you, to get your support system in place. You know, talk to the people who are going to be closest to you, and, you know, be aware that there are triggers and that your body is going to change, and that could bring up a lot of stress and anxiety. And there are other aspects of pregnancy that can be very triggering too, that don't have anything to do with the body changes, the loss of control, the sense of isolation. If you have any kind of history of trauma or abuse, you know, those kinds of feelings can come up during pregnancy too. Any type of family dynamics that have contributed to, you know, part being factors in, your history of mental health issues, like all of this stuff comes like up to the surface during pregnancy and as a new parent. So it's just, again, important to talk about it and to recognize that it could come up again, and to get your support system in place, reach out for help, talk to your healthcare providers. And then as far as just dealing day to day, you know, as much as you can take steps, you know, to not be constantly confronted with, I mean, we talk about in the book, just like, take all your, you know, your small clothes out of your drawers and closet. Like, don't torture yourself. You know, get clothes in advance that are going to be comfortable, so you're not constantly, you know, finding yourself outgrowing things that's going to, you know, remind you of the weight gain, you know, again, and really being open about that and being able to talk about the anxiety that's happening day to day and recognizing that this is what's going to happen. You know, that you can't, I think a lot of times it's that feeling of loss of control that, you know, and you can't control it. This is, and you're not going to necessarily have it. The other thing we heard a lot from women, in addition to the anxiety around that happened before you were visibly pregnant, is this idea of comparison that I don't have the perfect bump size, or, you know, I've gained weight in these places, but I don't look like, you know, the comparison to the celebrities and the tabloid and the obsessive tracking of, you know, celebrity pregnancies. And so
those are airbrushed anyway.
Exactly. Right. And that's a lose-lose to make that comparison, but it is there, and it's, you know, we're constantly surrounded by this message of perfectionism and perfect bodies. And even during pregnancy, we're not free of that because there, you know, are these examples of women who are like so super stylish and have the cute bump and, you know, and so when we end up comparing ourselves, that's really, you know, that's particularly for women who have histories of body image issues and eating disorders. That's a really dangerous comparison.
We see that a lot in class. It's really interesting. So we go around and we do what we call circle time, and everyone says their name and how far along they are, aches, pains, issues. But it's always, you know, at least once a week, someone will say, like, my bump doesn't look like so-and-so's. And we try to remind them, like, the person you're comparing to is 10 inches taller than you, and she has a longer torso, you know, and so you're carrying more straight out. But it's so hard. And I remember being pregnant with my first child, and I was about the same due date with another woman, and she's like, you look totally different than me. And I'm like, well, I'm 5'2", so my bump is kind of look different. It is. It's really hard to compare, especially when there is this, you know, celebrity love of pregnancy, and they just look like their boobs and belly have changed, but nothing else.
Yeah, and that has really amped up in the last few years, and, you know, there's a lot of money behind it too. I mean, there are whole markets of, you know, diet companies that are, and weight loss companies that are specifically marketing to new mothers. And so this whole idea of, like, there's a reason that our anxieties are being stoked because, you know, the more we feel anxious, the more we get money we're going to spend to try and not feel that way. But, you know, if we think about, and it's the obsession around appearance and the comparison is just, it's during pregnancy is an extension of how women are confronted, constantly bombarded with this kind of comparison constantly. So, you know, I think it's important to feel like it's okay to, you know, to talk about this. I think women sometimes, it's like this double whammy of, I know these pictures are retouched, and I know this is ridiculous, and I've taken, you know, my women's studies course, and I know this is crazy, and yet I still feel this way. And so I'm like, there's like a double layer of shame. Like, I shouldn't be worrying about this because it's so silly and I should know better. But the reality is that, you know, we're still confronted by it. You know, we can analyze it, but it still is in our faces all the time. So we have to really, like, A, actively talk back and, you know, continue to say this is ridiculous and support businesses and companies that have more body positivity approaches, but at the same time, not to beat ourselves up for feeling that pressure, because there are so many forces that are conspiring to make us feel insecure.
Absolutely. Well, have you heard about people that maybe a woman has pretty much been okay about her weight, you know, just kind of normal in quotes, but then being pregnant, have you heard of that triggering any sort of eating disorder?
Yeah, I have. I've heard of, I mean, eating disorders often happen when there are major life transitions. So,
well, pregnancy would be one of those.
Right. And so you don't, I mean, that's a pretty transformative time. And so there's a lot, again, it sometimes taps into existing anxieties that were there, and the pregnancy can, the eating disorder behavior can manifest for the first time during pregnancy. That's not uncommon. It's also on the flip side, we hear cases of women who are really, you know, active in their eating disorders before pregnancy, and then getting pregnant, it doesn't resolve the eating disorder long term, but they're able to let go of that behavior during the pregnancy. So it can work the other way too. And then what I talked about before about the binging behavior, that's another common scenario where women have been very caught up in extremely restrictive eating behaviors before pregnancy. And then this concept of a free pass can trigger the binging behavior. So there's lots of different scenarios that can happen. But again, it's really important to be in tune to that. And if you are struggling with an eating disorder, you know, there's so much, again, bringing up the shame piece, there's so much shame for women who are active in their eating disorders during pregnancy, because of course they fear that they're harming the baby, and there's this cultural, like, just, it's such a taboo. But the thing is, the longer you let it go, the more dangerous it becomes. So it's really, again, important to try to confide in someone and to get help if that is what's going on.
Well, what if a partner starts to see these red flags, becoming very obsessive about exercise, prioritizing food and exercise before friendships and work? What kind of intervention might be taken?
Well, I think the most important thing is to recognize that the person that you care about is probably feeling a lot of shame and anxiety. So to choose a time when you could talk to the person privately and one-on-one, to really stress to give examples of what you've observed. So you want to be concrete about it, but you really want to focus on the fact that this isn't really about the food or the weight gain, that it's about much deeper issues that are going on, and that you really care and you feel that it's important to get professional help. And that's key. These are not the kinds of issues that just resolve themselves. And usually they've been there, you know, in a lot of cases, the roots are there before the pregnancy. So it is really important to be non-judgmental about it, and you know, to recognize that fundamentally these aren't issues that are about the fear of weight gain or body changes is a surface obsession, but there are a lot of other things going on that are driving that.
Yes, it is. Hopefully they get themselves some help, like the partners can help the moms.
Yes.
So it takes some time for women after they have their baby to get back to the pre-pregnancy size. And I know this can be extremely emotional, like whose body is this? Because the pregnancy itself, you know, it takes time. But then the after, you know, the mom is still looking a little pregnant for a while. I remember going to the farmer's market. My son is, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks old, and we had him in the stroller, and this man looked at me and then looked at the baby and looked very confused why I still looked, you know, about 5-6 months pregnant. So how would you suggest a woman help find a healthy relationship with this new postpartum body?
Yeah. Well, again, I do want to stress the importance of a support system and being able to talk about those concerns as you're going through them. You know, I think this is another area where our tabloid media does not do us any favors, because there are all of these phrases, and, you know, there's this whole lexicon now around the pressure to lose weight after you've given birth. And I think that even the term pre-baby body is problematic, because it's like you've had your baby, like you're not, like your body has changed. And the idea that you could get, and that you're focused on going back to something, and psychologically you can understand, you know, why that might be very compelling, because you feel like everything is kind of spinning out of control. Everything is new. But I think it's really important for women to get past that idea that they're going to go back to this exact body that they had before their baby was born. Because even if you get to the same number on the scale, there are changes. there are changes. And I think as soon as you can make peace with that, I mean, even before the baby's born, if you just can make peace with that reality, That is very important. And then, you know, we lose a lot in, and I've talked again, going back to women that we interviewed for the book, you lose a lot of connection and quality time if your primary focus, is on getting back to a certain weight or, you know, how fast can I like get myself back in shape? And again, that is fueled and that focus is very validated in our culture. And so it's understandable, but again, we've talked to women, my co-author and I talked to women who look back on that time and sincerely regretted the amount of focus and how, you know, they really missed out on bonding time and they missed out on really being able to like be in the present and, you know, for as crazy and stressful and all the things that are going on, you know, that their primary obsessive focus was on, you know, getting, changing their body and getting back to a certain number on a scale or, you know, getting to the gym X number of times and all of that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it's important to focus on priorities and understand that, you know, yes, there are things that you can do, and move at a pace that's reasonable, but not to have it be this, like, again, this primary focus that's driving you and taking you away from some meaningful connections. And I think that's also true. I mean, when you think about bonding with baby, but also with other women. And, you know, this was another thing for me. As I said, I really didn't track my weight gain during pregnancy and my weight loss after birth. And it was very startling to me in the beginning to see how much that was the center of so many conversations with women I was around, you know, in groups of new mothers, that was such a central focus. Now, again, I don't want to minimize the, or say that it's not okay to talk about this, but I think we can kind of shift the focus of the conversation. So, you know, instead of saying like, oh my gosh, what, you know, what diet are you on? Or how did you lose the baby weight? Like to be able to say like, wow, I'm really stressing about my body. And, you know, to make it a more meaningful conversation than the comparison points or, you know, the acceptance that this is what we should be focused on all the time.
To interject that exercising too early is actually very harmful for the body because depending on how the mom's body was prenatally during labor, exercising too early can cause pelvic floor issues. It can create core issues, diastasis, and all these things that make it harder and longer of a recovery. And what I've been noticing, and I've been doing pre and postnatal for over 15 years, but in the last year or so, people are coming back a lot earlier. We have kind of a wait till your bleeding stops 4 to 6 week rule, 6 week cesarean, but people are starting to come in like 10 days after they have their baby. Mm. And I'm like, go get a pedicure, you know, go do something. And they're like, well, I need to move and stretch. So for them, I used to have to basically teach two classes, the postnatal and then this, you know, gentle stretch, because if we don't respect the healing, it just is a longer process.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really important point. And you know, there are, you know, serious like physical complications, but also just the whole idea of that, the acceptance of the healing process and the respect for that. And, you know, to really, I think one of the things that can happen that's a really positive on the body image front during pregnancy is that if you can get in touch with how awesome this process is and what your body's doing, and then after what you accomplished and really respecting that and being, you know, it comes with a lot of stress and anxiety, and it's not a perfect thing. It's messy and all of that, but it still is a pretty, pretty awe-inspiring process. And so to give your body credit and give yourself that space to heal is part of that whole picture of, you know, getting to a point of self-acceptance and really celebrating what you've done.
Gratitude.
Yeah. And it's sort of the most, one of the most amazing examples of, like shifting from what my body looks like and what my body can do and really getting in touch with the power of that. And that I think has been for a lot of women, a really eye-opening experience.
And that seems like a great tool for women suffering from body image issues during pregnancy, instead of saying, oh, you know, my belly's so big, instead of being like, wow, look what my body's doing. I'm making mm-hmm. a person and a whole new organ, you know, a placenta. They're making so much. So I like that idea about kind of celebrating. I'm going to bring that up in class tomorrow.
So, yeah. So, well, we have in the book there, this was a really cool exercise. We have two illustrations where we asked women in a survey to describe their pregnant bodies, and the range of words that they use were just, I mean, it was all over the map.
Can you share some?
Well, I mean, for women who were very focused on, not feeling good, it was, you know, bloated, disgusting, ugly, all of the negative, terms, and a lot of them were really strong. But then there were other women who really went more towards the amazing, powerful, awesome, strong. So we did two illustrations, and we filled, it was an outline of a pregnant woman's body, and also we did one for new mothers with and the bodies filled with the words. And so there was one that's really like a positive representation, and one that's a negative one. And it's, you think about that, and I think when you think in terms of becoming a parent, or your role in your growing this child, and if you have all of that negative, the way that you perceive yourself, is going to influence, this isn't in a blaming way, but it's very motivating, I think, for a lot of women to think, okay, I really want to get to a place where I can accept who I am, because the way I feel about myself is going to be passed along. And so, that's not to say that we have to have it all figured out. And, I do this kind of work for a living, and I have days that I don't feel as great about my body as others. And, that's just a reality. It's important to be authentic and open about that. But if you're on the path to self-acceptance, and if you're doing the work to get there, that makes a huge difference. And
I mean, totally honest, that is one of my motivating factors for really making sure I keep myself healthy, because I've never had an eating disorder per se, but I think like many women, it's something I'm very aware of, being, I was a dancer for years.
Yep.
I'm in front of people as a yoga teacher. My body is very, it's my instrument, but I'm also very aware of it. But with my two kids, especially my daughter, I know that even if it's subtle, something's going to come across. So what I do, I'm modeling for her how to accept her body. And it's something I take very seriously. And it really was a wake-up call for me to be like, okay, get yourself in check.
Yeah. And I think that's important for all of us to think about. I think about that. I have a daughter. It's so important to me to be able to, talk to her about these issues, and, also to, as you said, to model what, body positivity and self-acceptance and, reaching a point where, you're not in this constant mode of self-criticism. And unfortunately, that's a very familiar mode for a lot of women.
Yeah. I mean, they see me go to the gym, but I really am very, very mindful of the words I use. So what were some of the common themes in your book that actually surprised you when you were doing these interviews? Did anything pop out that you just were not expecting?
Well, I think, getting back to what I was talking about earlier with the amount of silence around these issues, I have to say it shouldn't have been so surprising, because working in the eating disorders field, I know that these are issues that are so underreported. But I have to say, hearing story after story from women who were struggling and just not, they had not talked about it with their doctors or anyone in their lives. So I guess maybe shock and surprise aren't the right terms, but certainly just very striking and, you know, certainly motivating for me, my work. Like this is this, we have to talk about this. So the, you know, the silence, that was a theme that just kept coming up again and again. And it's, these are issues that affect so many women. And it's not rocket science to make the connection that, you know, when you think about the number of women who have histories of disordered eating or full-blown eating disorders or body serious body image issues. I mean, you're talking about so many millions of women. And then, you know, of course, you know, when women get pregnant and become parents, like this is, these issues don't just dissolve, you know, and if anything, the pressures and the focus on weight become even more intense. So, you know, the fact that there was so little, there's so little discussion and so few resources. I mean, we tried to fill that gap to an extent, but I think the more we talk about these issues, the more hopefully people will feel comfortable in coming forward and asking for help.
Well, I know a lot of birth workers listen to this podcast, like doulas and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there any piece of advice that you can offer birth workers or partners to be supportive during this time?
Yeah. Well, I think to ask questions, you know, again, knowing that women often will not disclose, you know, there are some simple and eating disorder screening questions, you know, to ask about the level of anxiety around weight gain. And
What would some of those questions be?
Well, if you go to the National Eating Disorders Association website, there's actually a screening tool, a validated screening tool there that would
Great.
Be a good resource for birth workers.
We'll make sure we link to that.
And parents, and also our family members. So I think the other thing, knowing how little education is offered for medical professionals around eating disorders, that for doulas and those who are in supporting roles to really be strong advocates. And, you know, again, like getting, and it doesn't have to be like, in my case, I went all the way to, I don't even want to know my weight and I'll be told. Some women may decide that that's actually, that's also a healthy choice for them. But however you approach it, you know, once you get to a point of an awareness that this is an issue, that that a doula, and my doula was great about this. And, you know, I think that doulas can really be incredibly helpful in kind of guiding women through the process and getting to, and being aware, because doctors are not getting this information. Women are not disclosing it. And
are they not asking?
Well, that's the thing. They're often not. And so the screening piece of just asking questions about how just that get at the level of anxiety around food and body image. And then, you know, if women are actually restricting or engaging in eating disorder behavior. Now, a lot of times they're not going to disclose that because of the level of shame, but sometimes you can get at questions that would at least surface some of the base anxiety. And if that's there, that's something to pay attention to. And I think sometimes we live in a culture that's so weight obsessed, and so many women have these issues, that it often just gets, it's undetected, or it's assumed that, well, every woman struggles with this. And so I think we have to push back against the assumption that we should be feeling this way. And then also just make sure that to the degree we can, we educate those who are the frontline providers and, you know, are working with women. And, you know, that's partners, family members, birth workers, anyone who comes into contact who has the potential to be an advocate for that person and connect them to resources. And there are, you know, the other thing is, if you find yourself with an OB or a healthcare provider who is not sensitive or makes comments that make you feel uncomfortable, find someone else.
It's like if they're not, you know, confident and comfortable or not confident, but like if they're not conscious about supporting you about this, you have to think
that's
down the road, how are they going to be during a vulnerable
right.
labor? It's
that's
just
right.
kind of a little red flag.
It is. And that's where family members, partners can also be really helpful in nudging women in the direction of and helping to advocate, because a lot of times it's such a vulnerable time. And, you know, particularly if it's your first pregnancy and you put so much trust in your healthcare provider. And so I think sometimes it's overwhelming to, you know, to recognize that it's a problem and to change. But, you know, to your point, which is exactly right, if you have an early sign that this is not a doctor who's going to be sensitive and who's going to make comments that make you feel uncomfortable and even more insecure about your weight, and the weight gain and the body changes, that's, you got to pay attention to that. And you can switch. I mean, there, like, you can find healthcare providers who are more sensitive to these issues. It's very unfortunate. And, you know, we do a lot of advocacy in the field I work in to educate frontline providers about these issues. And we still have a long way to go. But, you know, I think if you're finding yourself uncomfortable in your doctor's office, that's a red flag.
Yeah, I've done many a talk about care providers and are you with the right person and switch if you're not. That's a hot topic.
Yeah. And it really holds true for these issues too.
Absolutely. Well, I know we're wrapping up. Do you have any last minute tips? You have so much great information. I really appreciate it. Are there any last minute tips that we haven't covered that you think pregnant or postpartum or birth workers need to know?
Well, I think, again, it's not something we haven't covered already, but I really do want to emphasize that it's important to talk about these issues. And, you know, there's so much silence around them. And so if you are struggling or you know someone who you suspect might be, don't hesitate to reach out. And there are resources available, and recovery is possible. So, you know, I think that's the other thing, we feel like helpless in these situations a lot of times, but if you can reach out for help early, it makes a huge difference.
What kind of resources are you thinking that people can find? Is it online? Is it a therapist? Is mm-hmm. it a support group? Is it all of the above?
Yeah, it could be all of the above. And it really depends on, you know, what you're going through. But certainly, these are issues that are very complex. And a lot of times women struggle in silence. They think they can kind of handle things on their own, as often we get in that mode. But it's important to get professional help. And support groups are out there. You know, reaching out, the National Eating Disorders Association has a helpline, which can be accessed on our website through click to chat and also by phone. So there are a lot of resources on that site. And we even have a section for eating disorders and pregnancy and resources available. But anywhere you are, you can connect to a treatment provider and a support group. So just know that you're not alone in it.
I want to give a practical tip. Let me know what you think of this. So my mm-hmm. own first pregnancy, I really resisted going for the maternity clothes. Mm-hmm. And then once I finally surrendered, it felt fantastic.
Yeah.
And then my second pregnancy, like, bring on the maternity pants. So I'd say, ladies, don't resist maternity clothes. Enjoy mm-hmm. those jeans or cords, whatever, that go above the belly. And then it's kind of...
I know. I fully embrace those as well. I have to say,
that's just a very practical tip of, you know, don't resist, embrace.
Yeah. And don't, yeah. And it speaks to that earlier point about just get the stuff that's like stressing you out, like, and that is going to stoke like anxiety and comparison. Just get it out of your space and just really embrace, as you said, the process to the degree that you can.
Oh, well, I wanted to thank you so much for spending some time with me and
our listeners. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about your writing and what you've done?
Sure. Well, they can find me on my website, claremisco.com, and then also the National Eating Disorders Association, where I'm the CEO, and we have a lot of resources and a helpline. So those are the two spots you can find me.
And your books. Perfect. Well, thank you. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Take care. Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center.
You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.